The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening
to
the station.
He has conquered death and risen.
AM 1240.
Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for
Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. Ladies, do you like the way he gives me one line to read? He goes
but
on
don't
forever,
worry, he more
and
to
I
makes
get
up for
one
it.
Lousy little
more
line.
To make up for it.
Listen up, Jesus is on the air, and then I have to listen to Al Barbarino sing. And now watch, he's going to say it. He's going to say, and now we love Jesus. Go ahead.
And that was Dr. John Palmer.
Okay.
Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
And I have another line. We sure do. Isn't
and Al, we love you too. We know you're listening.
Al, who?
Thank you. This is the 221st show that Al has sung our theme song.
Yeah, but he never
for Al.
He's home, sitting in bed, smoking a cigarette, you know. And he says he's praying to Mary. Sure, sure he is. We know
and
him.
And we got some great guests. We got some old friends. Been on, I wouldn't say 6-7 times, been on about 5 times. And so, why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, I will as soon as I get my earphones back in.
Oh, there he goes. He's never prepared.
We have two people from Solomon's Porch Prayer Group. Sarah Ryan, the owner and dictator of Advent Stores, and Carol Murray. And Carol, you know, you have to watch who you hang around with. I just figured we'd point that out. But is that a good enough?
Yeah, that's it. That's a good opening. But
I've known Carol for years, but I call her Kathy.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you know what?
Everybody calls me different names. It's Carolyn.
It's Carolyn.
Carolyn, see?
Okay, so you know what? That's flattery, because they think of different people when they see you.
But Tony, the reason why I want Sarah and a representative from her prayer group here is because I saw your prayer group a couple of years ago, and I went a few times on Friday nights, first Friday of each month at St. Anthony's in Oceanside at 7:30 at night. And it was a typical charismatic kind of thing with the hands in the air and whatever. And it was fine.
Dancing on the tables?
Yeah, pretty
jumping
much.
Jumping up and down?
Yeah, and I really and thoroughly enjoyed it. But I went back, I don't know, maybe 6-7 months ago. And Tony, there's such a change in that group. It's filled with the presence of God. You can feel it. There's peace there. And there's a certain sanctity in that room with the people who are there and a devotion. And they have a woman, the listener, who's gifted with words. And the people there are very, very prayerful and into scripture and into healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a lovely thing. And I really attribute it to you, Sarah, and the members of your group, your core group, because I know so many of them are so devoted and have been doing so many wonderful things there for years. But I wanted to talk about that change.
Okay, you'll talk, but I want to know about the prayer group then. Okay?
I just told you. And okay. I want to see the change. I want to talk about what caused that change, Sarah.
You know,
yeah, gotcha,
John,
huh?
Yeah, well, I guess being part of it, we're going to be celebrating our 20th anniversary actually this month.
Wow.
20 years of meeting, and it's a funny thing. We meet on a Friday night. When we first started, they said, no one will show up on a Friday night. Who's going to come to a prayer meeting on a Friday night? But that was the only night we had that the church would give us a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 20 years later, that room is still full. People are still coming. And it's more alive than it ever was. And the prophetic word given to it years ago was, someday the room will be so filled because people are going to come to us, take our hand and say, I want to go with you because you know God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the main charism that I will say the group has and has had over the years and continues to grow in is love.
Mm-hmm.
That is our main charism.
Absolutely.
Is love. And when I say love, it's because over the years, no matter who has come or who has gone, and whatever stage you were in when you came or left, it didn't matter to us. All that mattered was that you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've loved everyone who's come through the doors.
And you have a structure to your prayer group. Why don't you tell our listeners? Because people say, I go to a prayer group. What do I do with a prayer group?
That was my question. What's the thesis of your prayer group and the structure?
The structure of it is that we begin with praise and worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's a great way to open yourself up. And that's why people raise their hands, you know, let God in.
Well, you begin with praise and worship because when you come in from a day, listen, it's Friday night, it's 7:30, it's the end of the week already, and most people will come in tired. But you will find that when you start to praise God, when you start to lift your hands in the air and get out of yourself and start to praise God, there's something that takes place in the room. There's release.
Holy all Spirit's the tension. There. The Holy Spirit's
yes.
there. And,
yeah. and all the tension of the you. Day goes away, and you all of a sudden just become one with God there. You yeah. just, you know, the praise and worship really does open you up. So we start out with praise and worship. We play some beautiful songs that really draw you into praise.
You used to have live music, but yes. and sometimes you still do.
Sometimes, but most of the time it's recorded, and most people know the words, so it's beautiful. We have songbooks. And then after that, we spend time on opening the floor to the Word of God. We only read from Scripture.
So part two is let God speak through the people and the words that they're receiving, usually Scripture yeah. or something else.
Yeah, and sharing how God works with you through the work, through the week. Because we find that, you know what, we all basically go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. All of us, you know, mm-hmm. I always say, you know, we identify, we don't compare. We identify, all of us identify with maybe somebody's pain. We've just recently lost two people in our prayer group to cancer.
Oh.
Within a month, two people died.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you.
But they're still part of your prayer group.
Both women were amazing, amazing women. Right, Carolyn?
Yes.
Truly Ooh. Amazing women. They were such an inspiration to all of us because they loved God so much. That even when they were getting chemo that afternoon, they would be at the prayer meeting that Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of people that come over to me because of the radio show and talk about prayer groups, and they're hungry. They're hungry for Scripture. You seem to hit a bell with me when you said about, you know, talking about the Scripture and stuff like that. Do you just read the Scripture or do you discuss it?
That's important. That's a very important question because... it's not just reading. People are led by the Spirit to the words they bring up. Tell them.
It's not, you know what, the best way I could explain it, there's this old story I heard a long time ago about Psalm 23.
I love that psalm.
Everybody loves
I
it.
I love it.
It tells a story about a little boy who was going to recite Psalm 23. On stage. So he went home and he practiced it every single day and he read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down." And he practiced and practiced and he knew it perfectly. Perfectly. He just knew it perfectly. Then it gets that day, he's on the stage and the curtains open and he stands there and he looks out and he's kind of like frozen, and yet he looks out and then he says to the crowd, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know."
Yeah. That says a lot.
And that's what the Scripture is like in our group.
And you know what
else?
Not
reading it, it's knowing who wrote the Scripture.
Yeah, but also, because I've seen some, I see we have 200 prayer groups. I've been to so many of them. That section where there is Scripture that people are led to, it's the Holy Spirit setting up the lesson for the night. And it actually is true, isn't it?
It is true. Our prayer group is very unique, too, because we are so blessed to have the Blessed Sacrament there.
Oh, boy.
Jesus is exposed there. So when you come in, you feel truly the presence of God when we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people who lead the meeting. And when they lead the meeting, before we do that, we actually pray what Scripture God wants us to read and what word he wants to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we lead the meeting with the Word of God that he gave us on our heart for that night.
Yeah.
And we put it out there, and we don't know where it's going to go, except through the Holy Spirit. And it just goes, it takes its own form, you know, and it becomes a beautiful meeting, you know, and it becomes unity between us.
It's wonderful. And that's what the prayer groups do. People lose sight of that. Some prayer groups have drifted away, and they do counseling, whatever, 12-step, no, that's not it at all. It's being open to Scripture and to the Word of God and to the Spirit, so that the lessons that they want to be taught that night are for each person in that prayer group.
And may I add, that's the basis of our show.
Yeah.
Our show is run by the Holy Spirit. You think we're well prepared. You think we spend a lot of time getting together.
We do. Tony.
The truth of the matter is, it's the Holy Spirit that tells us what to do, when to do. On my way here, he's telling me what to do, what to say. I'm sure it's telling John what to do, what to say.
I picked the music out in prayer.
And it's the Holy Spirit that controls it all.
Yeah. And isn't there word gifts that people have?
There is. And with the Holy Spirit.
Tell people what that is, too.
It's listening. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to listen, to what he's saying. And even when we put it out there and people are sitting there, because I've been on both ends leading and listening, is to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you and prompting what happened to you that in your life or in that scripture to just say and share it with everybody. And that's how it's sharing personally what God did for you and in your life. It's very intimate.
Yes, it is.
It's all about him.
And the rule is to keep it brief and Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. You don't have to read the whole thing. What's the A? I forget the A was. But it's ABC.
Accurate,
brief, and Christ-centered. And that's so important because, people can ramble on and half the place will go to sleep.
Well, that's where the leader, truthfully, and Carolyn will tell you, that's where the leader comes in. And you have to be able to know when to say when and bring it back to where it belongs.
That's right.
It's so important because you can get out of focus and people can go off on a tangent and they mean well and they just want to talk about whatever. But then you have to let them know, okay, let's get back to what it really is. Tonight we're discussing how, the movement of the Spirit in your heart or in your family or in your life or in your business or whatever it might be that night. Mm-hmm. Or the touching of the hem of Jesus' garment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to bring them back. So it's important when you're leading for you to be prepared to be able to stand there and know that's your role.
Keep our eyes on Jesus.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But when you say leading, you mean facilitating, don't you?
No.
I mean leading.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean leading.
In what way?
Meaning that you go there with what God has put on your heart to present to the group, and then you put it out there. But as it's out there, you make sure that the focus still stays in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
We're talking about the same thing here.
Yeah, after 20 years, what? And I say that time does give you an understanding, mm-hmm. that when the Lord's telling you, keep quiet because you listen, or allow them to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not about you.
That's right.
But you still have to have a presence there because there has to be some control. There has to be an order to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the beauty of it. There has to be, like this show. Listen, there's an hour. You've got to cover certain things, and you can't allow somebody just to say, well, that doesn't matter that you prepared that and you're going to read that because I want to say something else.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people say to us, oh, the Lord told me this. And you look at them and you're like, God is not a God of chaos.
God of order.
He's God of order. And he wouldn't just tell you. He would tell us.
And so you have praise, and then you have the word. And then what?
And then we have prophecy. Then we've spoken and we share.
What is that? Tell our leaders, our listeners, what that is.
Well, that's listening again. It's listening to what God's putting on your heart to say to the group for the good of the group and the building up of his community and what he wants us to know. So we listen to what he says to us, and then we speak it.
Do you pray in tongues?
Yes. We do.
Okay, because people wonder what that is. And that's Paul's way of letting the Spirit pray for the groanings of our spirit, of our heart. So we just speak in tongues, and you sound like an idiot. But during that time, it clears you out of you, and then lets God in.
Does everyone pray in tongues in the group?
I would say most people do.
They do?
I mean, it's not a requirement to be mm-hmm. part of it, but for myself, I can only speak for myself, it's a gift that has helped me to put myself aside.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to pray in tongues, it's not about what you would like for the person or the people, or it's what God wants for them.
Mm-hmm. I even tell people, if you don't have the gift of tongues, which you may not have, just say, Jesus, I trust in you. That's all. Yeah. You don't need to do anything else other than that.
Yeah. So we do.
Go ahead, then. The prophetic word.
Prophetic word.
Yeah, and we share it, and whatever, you know, was put on our hearts, we share the word of God, what He wants to speak to us that night, and we take it in, and we listen to it, and we practice it all week,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our lives, you know, those little bits that you take from it personally, that you're going to take home with you, and you're going to live it, and do it.
And some people write notes during that time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? And some of the prophecy comes through Scripture.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's neat.
Yeah.
What else then? Okay.
And then
now we have you all as prophets,
right?
And you're all walking on water.
And
now
then
tell everybody.
Next important part of it is intercession.
Okay.
And then before
what's that?
Before we close, we intercede for all the needs of the world, and for all the people that have asked us to pray. Just as you do here, you have petitions. I take petitions from the shops. I come with bags of petitions, and we fill them out when we come in, and people ask us to write their names. And then we bring them before Jesus, and we intercede. And that is, for me, I guess everybody has their moments, but I find that particular part of it amazing, because the power that comes from the communal prayer together, praying with one heart and one mind, for the needs of the people.
Lifting up the petitions, yes.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It just, and that part has grown quite a bit. We've expanded it. We've spent more time on it than we did a while ago. I had read something about how important intercessory prayer is, and I brought it to the core group, and I was like, we need to expand this part. It's not just raising your hands over them and saying, yeah, Lord bless them, okay, let's move on. Now it's coffee and cake. No, this is an important time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a powerful time. We can change the course of the world doing this.
Yes,
you can. Oh, absolutely.
You know, we had Judith McNutt on, and she was talking about Francis McNutt, her husband, who wrote a wonderful book on healing. And he talked about praying with people, that God has a sense of humor. And she said he was at a day of healing, and it was all doctors who didn't believe in healing. And they had the doctors who had never prayed before for anyone before praying over people. And these two doctors were praying over this doctor who had trouble walking. He was so involved with physically. And the other doctor who was praying with him had some hip problems or leg problems. And as he prayed, he got healed. And the guy still had the bed. He said the knees got healed later. But God has a sense of humor.
Well,
and you don't never know what He's going to do, especially in those quiet moments. When Paul Miller prays.
Absolutely.
When Paul Miller prays, and we got to give his commercial before we finish. But when Paul Miller prays, he says, I know you guys are charismatic, some of you, and you like to talk to Jesus when I pray. But he said, I want you to be silent when someone's praying over you, because how else are you going to hear God? I love that, because I'm such a blabbermouth. I have trouble shutting up.
We keep tape here.
As you can tell. Yeah.
We keep duct tape.
But
it's true.
Intercessory prayer and praying over people is in Scripture. Right?
It is.
Listen.
Oh, yes.
I mean, when you read the Bible, it comes alive. There's a talk about a little remnant praying and the miracles that happened through that.
I know.
And that's what we're expecting. We're expecting miracles when we pray.
Have you seen healings?
Yes.
What happened? Can you remember any?
I can just remember myself.
Well, okay.
And my family and Carolyn's family and the people coming to the group, broken and coming in. There's a girl who, Pam, she won't mind my saying that, who came in originally like broken and bent over, and you can just see the pain. And then after coming there, they walk out straight and tall.
Yeah.
There's healings that, you know, the Lord taught me a long time ago. Look for the scars that people don't see physically, because those are the scars that really need healing. Those are the scars you need.
But healings happen all over.
Oh, all the time.
All over. It doesn't have to just be one person, one group.
No.
All you need to do is to pray. Pray with your heart.
Yes.
And ask for mercy.
There's no walls in heaven.
Yeah.
No.
And in prayer, I've been told that we're healed two ways. We're healed in terms of our immediate needs. However, we're also healed with the Spirit of God looking to the future, so that whatever He wants healed now, in here and now, will also make us more ready to go deeper into His love in the future. I love that, because people look for immediate gratification, and God doesn't work that way. I know my knees are still hurting me. This is after 27 years.
He's not a microwave God, he's a crock pot God, right?
Carolyn, what happened to you? Were you touched in any way through that, those prayers?
You mean my conversion?
Yeah.
We love conversion stories. Yes, absolutely.
Well,
if you want. I mean, we don't want to invade your privacy.
Well, that's my
You're only talking
to
35 people who
Solomon's
listen.
Solomon's Porch.
Okay.
I was having a really rough time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bowling with my girlfriend, Amy, and she gave me this book on Medjugorje.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it home, and I started to read it and read it and read it. And I was sitting on my couch, and I was near the end of this book. And I was devouring it, actually. And I just sat there, and I held the book. And I guess it was the Holy Spirit who led me, but I sat on the edge of my couch, and I started to hold the book up to the Lord. And I said to Him, is this true?
Mm-hmm.
Is this true? I said it like three times. And I had such a powerful experience. I actually heard Him. I heard like footsteps come in, and He just consumed me. I could feel Him like penetrating me, and He went through the whole book with me.
Mm.
And He said to me, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for me? And He said, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And He went through the whole book. Mm-hmm. And I had such a conversion then. And Amy and I started looking for prayer groups, and that's how we found Solomon's Porch.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah actually was my leader in one of the Life and Spirit seminars.
Mm-hmm. And the Life and the Spirit seminars are so important. They kind of died out a bit, but we'd like
Solomon's
to bring them back.
Solomon's Porch came out of the Life and the Spirit seminar. We did the seminar first, and from that, then we started the prayer group. And Carolyn, as she said, did the Life and the Spirit seminar, and then she volunteered to stay on and be one of the worker bees.
And you get enough of the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts are there.
When you go to a prayer group, I really believe you see the power and love and mercy and gentleness and all of His attributes in there. Mm-hmm. And that's what drew me to a prayer group. I saw Him there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. And Sarah, if someone wants to join the prayer group, how would they go about it?
They walk in.
St. Anthony's.
St. Anthony's in Oceanside every Friday night at 7:30. I always say, listen, I'm not inviting you. Jesus is.
Absolutely.
Jesus invites
Jesus
you.
Picked him.
Come. Spend time with Him.
And this is Michael Smith singing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. A little violin music up front. As you end your prayer group, I know you end it very gently and lovingly and have the sacrament reposed. What a powerful prayer group. Mm. But that structure of the prayer group, and I want to emphasize, because this is recorded, and eventually I'm going to send a copy of this to every prayer group leader so that they get the idea of the structure. It's not just fun and games. It's turning your eyes upon Jesus and asking the power of the Holy Spirit to revolutionize what's going on in that prayer group. That's what it's all about. So let's listen to Michael. I know I've been talking a lot, Tony, but I have my own agenda today. I'm sorry.
I know you do. We didn't get to your agenda yet, though.
And Michael was an alcoholic whose life was turned around by the power of God.
Lovely.
No, I want to hear the music.
I can't hear you.
And here come the words. And listeners, we hope you're feeling that peace. That's the spirit.
He said, I am.
And a hand for the Holy Spirit. And that's what prayer group is about. And I want to thank the two of you for explaining it so clearly so that listeners can be made curious as to, is there a prayer group in my parish? And if there is, can I attend it? And does it have this kind of structure? And if not, can I bring this structure to it?
You know, that's a good idea, John. That structure.
And I will say, if anybody's interested in any way, starting one or needs help with one, we're here to offer our help.
Yeah, we're available.
We're available. We've done Life in the Spirit seminars in Valley Stream to help them get their group started. But you know what? This is something that you do for the love of God. And you know, it's something I would want to do. I would love to see this flourish in every parish.
So how would they get in touch with you?
Oh, listen. Call Advent Shop? No, they can call my cell. My cell is on the web. Listen, I tell people all the time, you know what? I'm accessible for everything. And I just said to Carolyn, she goes, how did this happen today? I said, because somebody asked me, and I said, yes.
Yeah. But also, too, Tony, this program will be on listen-up.net later on this week.
It'll be on probably by next Monday. It'll be on.
Okay. And it's out there. And anyone who's interested, just go to listen-up.net. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to this instruction, and you can play it for your prayer group so that if they've lost sight of the structure and the power of what a prayer group is about, that they can be brought back online. Because I know that it's not a 12-step program, and it's not counseling. It's being open to the spirit.
By the way, there are 221 shows on that website.
Yeah.
Every show we've ever done is on that website.
And if they really want, we can send them a CD of this program.
I can send them CDs of any show.
And you can call me. I'll give you my office phone. It's 416-423-0405. And tell me you want a CD, and I'll give it to you.
Yeah, and my cell number is 516-712-7005.
And mine is 516-445-2600.
But the other thing is...
My cell number is written on the wall of the...
Good. And the bathrooms? we can make...
Conversions can happen anywhere, Lord. Thank you.
We can make multiple discs, so it's not that we can just send one. So if I have people that ask me for 10 copies of the show and 12. Al Barbarino asked me for... quite a few copies from last time he was on our show. So we can do it in a flash.
And you know, ladies, we have a sponsor. And it's Paul Miller and his Divine Mercy Group in Newark. And why don't you read the commercial that Paul sent us?
Okay, I will. Actually, this weekend is going to be a twofer for Paul Miller. There's going to be a program on Sunday. Divine Mercy program that's going to have a bus.
We'll read his commercial first, and then we'll go to Monday.
Okay, and then we're going to have another thing going on Monday. But I'll do that. I'll read his commercial the way he wrote it. April 12th, the Sunday after Easter, is Divine Mercy Sunday. Join frequent guest with Brother Paul Miller at the New Jersey Center for Divine Mercy at St. Rocco's Church in Newark, New Jersey. The service begins with a Mass at 11 a.m. and is followed by a healing service, a dynamic healing service, I may add, and the Chapel of Divine Mercy exposition and benediction. And confession is available beginning at 9:30. And for more information, visit the Center of Divine Mercy.com. That's the Center of Divine Mercy.com. Now, also, in addition to that,
can I just mention the bus?
I'm just going to mention that. Okay, so if you be patient.
Okay, I'm impatient today. I'm sorry.
Keep the tape on your mouth. I'll mention it.
You're like Felix.
There's going to be a bus.
I just want to make sure we get it all in.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a bus that's going to pick people up.
Two buses. There's one in Suffolk and one in Nassau.
What time is it going to pick them up?
The one in Nassau is going to be at Christopher Morley Park, exit 36 off Searingtown, on Searingtown Road in Manhasset. And it's going to be leaving there at 8:30, but we're going to be loading the bus at 8:15. So I suggest people get there at 8 o'clock. The bus is about three quarters full. I have a few more seats available. And the cost for the bus is $25. And it leaves there at 8:30, and we'll be back in Manhasset at 5 p.m. Divine Mercy Sunday night. And it's such a special treat to go to his center in Newark. It's right in the poorest section of Newark. And where Paul has recovered a church that was to go out of business and set up a Divine Mercy Center there, a soup kitchen where he serves over 125,000 meals, giving away coats, toys for kids. And he has training programs for people who were in jail to get them back to work. It's
and
unbelievable.
He also has a construction company now that he builds houses for the homeless and places for the homeless. So
praise God.
He's doing a lot of stuff.
And I must say, when he when he was at St. Mary's, I had a check for him of a sizable amount of money. And I went to give it to him because of the profit from the day. And he said, no, I want that to support your radio program. And that's such a wonderful, unselfish thing for him to do. And you have other news
very
about him, don't you?
Yes, I do. We're now a 501c3, a nonprofit at the radio station here. And anyone that wants to contribute, it's automatically tax deductible. And all they need to do is to write the check to Listen Up. That's it.
And we're planning to have some things that we will email you. We don't mail them by...
We're working on it now.
Yeah, and we'll announce
that
when
it's ready.
So anyone
wants to be not a sponsor, but a supporter for a certain amount of money, we'll send shows out, you know, every week, a show that we're doing, and a lot of different things are going on. So, yes, we are a nonprofit, 501c3.
Amen.
And so if anyone's thinking of sponsoring us, it's tax deductible. And
you know the best part about being a nonprofit, then it becomes official because we've been nonprofit for four years here.
For 4 years. By the way,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right.
let me just quickly mention
self-fulfilled prophecy.
Let me just quickly mention the twofer that I originally said before I was interrupted. He's also going to be appearing Monday evening.
Did I interrupt?
Yes, you did.
I did. Okay.
He's also going to be appearing Monday evening at St. Francis of Assisi Church on Clay Pits Road. And he's going to be doing a prayer group. There's going to be a mass. There's going to be a rosary. Paul is going to do a talk. And he's going to be doing his dynamic prayer overs that he does. And they're very... And I've seen Palmer get slain in the spirit for only one time. And that was when Paul Miller prayed over him.
Well, I don't go down too often.
I know, but you went down.
Thick-headed,
mulish. So it starts at 7 o'clock. And it's at the St. Francis of Assisi Church. You can just call the church for information at 631-757-7433.
What's that number?
631-754-7433. Or you can call me at 516-712-7005. I'll be hosting the show.
The show. It's show business time, folks. Here we go. Hey, we better get on.
Okay,
we have a scriptural reflection for the day. And I would love to have it come up with a little music in the background. This is by our anonymous contributor. The community of believers was of one heart and mind. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they had everything in common. This is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, 32 to 35 verses. One effect of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in the lives of the believers was that they saw no need to have personal possessions, but rather a need to share whatever they had with all the community. The result, no one was ever in need. There was always enough of everything for everyone. The power of God, the love of God himself, was at work in them, and it worked for the good of all. We live this way when we tithe our earnings to the Lord through His church and those who carry out charitable works in His name. When we all see ourselves as a real community of faith, as brothers and sisters of the Lord in fact and not just in name, we accomplish this great miracle of love today as it was accomplished 2,000 years ago. Need a clearer example? Watch and listen to Pope Francis. See his concrete deeds and heed his teachings when it comes to being merciful to the least among us. It's not only a refreshing way to live, but a necessary way as a result of Christ's command to love one another. And we're not asking people just because we gave for a nonprofit corporation to tithe, but our author really says, if you tithe, you will be blessed. I don't know if you tithe. I have nothing left to tithe, but you know, if you tithe, you're blessed.
It actually says you'll be chased down with blessings. He will chase after you.
Because
God himself will chase after you with blessings when you tithe.
Because we're a community of love.
It's mentioned in the biblical
sense. In the Bible, that's what it says.
Many times. So tithing is a big issue. So let's move on to the saint. What do you say, Palmer?
Sounds like a good idea. I wonder what saint he has. I just can't imagine.
How could I not have Saint Faustina?
Wow. How I'm shocked and surprised.
So who is Saint Maria Faustina? Saint Faustina is known today the world over as the Apostle of the Divine Mercy, classified by theologians among the outstanding mystics of the Church.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in August 1905, right around the time you were born.
That's right.
And died
October
5th, 1938. She was the third of 10 children, born into a poor and pious peasant family in the heart of Poland. At a baptism, she was given the name Helena. As a child, she distinguished herself by her piety and love of prayer and her obedience, as well as her great sensitivity to human misery. She was constantly taunted by the human misery and the poorness that she was surrounded with. She had hardly 3 years of schooling, and at the age of 14, she left the family to help her parents and to earn her own livelihood, serving as a domestic in this nearby cities. Throughout her life, she reported a number of visions of Jesus and conversations with him, which she wrote about in her diary. And there is the diary of St. Faustina, which is very, very interesting. When she was only 7, 2 years before her Holy Communion, she already sensed in her heart the call to embrace the religious life. When she made her desire known to her parents, they did not acquiesce in her entering a convent because of the situation. She strove to call the divine within her and to help her accomplish that goal. At the age of 19, she saw a vision of a suffering Jesus and rushed to the church, where she was told by Jesus to join a convent. She pressed on by a vision of the suffering Christ and by the words of his approach. How long shall I put up with you, and how long will you keep putting me off? That's in her diary, number 9. She began to search for a convent to join. She knocked on many convent doors, but nowhere was she accepted. Finally, she was given an opportunity to join a convent of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. She entered the convent of the Congregation of the Sisters in Warsaw. In her diary, she said it seemed that she had stepped into the life of paradise. Her founder's wish had been accomplished. However, she knew nothing about the convent she was joining, And as a lay sister, became a gopher and a doofer because of a lack of education. And she was considered probably not to be advanced. Soon she began to receive heavenly visions. She visited purgatory. She saw and spoke to Jesus and Mary several times. She visited hell, which we'll talk about, and it is outlined in her diary. Finally, however, on February 1931, Jesus revealed to her what her real mission was supposed to be. She had a vision of Jesus as the King of Divine Mercy, wearing a white garment with rays of white and red emanating from his heart. She wrote that Jesus told her to paint an image according to the pattern you see with the signature, "Jesus, I trust in you." Not knowing how to paint, she approached someone at the convent to help assist her. 3 years later, a rendition under her direction. Jesus told her to have that rendition blessed. That's the first Sunday after Easter. After Sunday was to be known as the Feast of Mercy. After she passed many tests given by the church, her efforts were supported, and Eugene Kamalowski was asked to draw the image based on the direction of Faustina. She became ill in 1936 and died in 1938. The picture was repressed for over 20 years. In 1959, her message was finally accepted again. In 1978, Faustina was beatified, and on April 18, 1993, canonized. On April 30, 2000, she was the first saint of the 21st century. Divine Mercy Sunday is celebrated the first Sunday after Easter. The fact that her Vatican biography directly quotes some of her conversations with Jesus distinguishes her among the many reported visions of Jesus and Mary. It was estimated that those following the Divine Mercy devotion is over 100 million Catholics annually. She also had a vision and was taken into hell. I'd like to read that a minute. If
go ahead.
We've got a few minutes. It's very interesting, and it's found in her diary. And it's Saint Faustina's vision of hell. "I, Sister Faustina, by the order of God, have visited the abyss of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things I saw, but I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieve that there was a hell." That's found in the diary, 741. "Today I was led by an angel of hell. There's a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of tortures I saw. The first torture that constitutes hell is the loss of God. The second is the perpetual remorse of conscience. The third is that one's condition will never change. The fourth, the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it. A terrible suffering, since it is a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. The fifth torture is continual darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. And despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other. All the evil comes out of them, both of others and of their own evil ventures. The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. The seventh torture is a horrible despair, a hatred of God, and the words and curses and blasphemies against God. These are the tortures suffered by all the damned together, but that is not the end of the suffering. Indescribable sufferings, there are special tortures destined for particular souls. These are the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable suffering related to the manner in which they have sinned. I would have died. There have been caverns of pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the very sight of these torches if that God had not supported me. No one can say there is no hell. Let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made us to be sinned. I am writing this at the command of God, so that no soul may find an excuse to say they didn't know hell really exists. Hell does exist.
Yeah, but so does God's mercy. And I love that reading.
Absolutely.
Every time I hear that, I cringe. But, you know, I'm reading from the Faustina little booklet.
Right.
And he said, while you've heard that about hell, Jesus said to Faustina, recognize my mercy now while there is still time. Write down these words, my daughter. Speak to the world about my mercy. Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to the fount of my mercy. Let them profit from the blood and water which gushed forth for them. And he said about his image, I want this image to be solemnly blessed on the first Sunday after Easter. That Sunday is to be the Feast of Mercy. On that day, the depths of my mercy will be open to all. That's tomorrow, listeners. Whoever will go to confession and Holy Communion on that day will receive complete forgiveness of sin and all punishment. Mankind will not enjoy peace until it turns with confidence to my mercy. And he later said to Faustina, say unceasingly this chaplet which I have taught you. Anyone who says it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. Priests will recommend it to sinners as the last hope. Even the most hardened sinner, if he recites this chaplet even once, will receive from my infinite mercy. I want the whole world to know my infinite mercy. I want to give unimaginable graces to those who trust in my mercy. Wow.
So tomorrow is the opportunity.
Yes.
To wipe the slate clean.
Yeah, and we can begin it right here now. Why not? We have a chance to bring God's mercy alive in the world.
Absolutely.
Why not just say the chaplet? It only takes a few minutes.
Okay, let's
do it. The first thing you say is the Our Father and a Hail Mary, and I believe in God. And we'll have to have you say that in your heart, because I don't want to run out of time. Then on each bead you say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
And on the smaller beads, you to say the following words, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
and I think one more, for the sake of his
sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world.
And after each day, you do this five times, five decades, as if you're saying the rosary.
And between each one you say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world.
And when you're finished, all five decades, you say, Holy God, Holy
Mercy,
one.
Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And you know, it's no coincidence that you read that piece from hell. And I just picked up this little booklet coming out of Mass today. No coincidence.
No,
I read
absolutely
that.
Not.
Okay?
And you read it well.
But the point is, yeah, you can go to hell.
No
or you
need.
Can turn to confidence in God's mercy. Right. No matter how unforgivable you think your sins are. And today, go to confession if you can. But tomorrow, go online and look up Divine Mercy, the chaplet, and say it just once. Any sinner who's the worst sinner in the whole world will find that at his moment of judgment, God will grant him mercy. Isn't that unbelievable? That's how merciful and loving our God is. Isn't that what you're finding in your prayer groups?
Yes. All the time. You it's know? Who he is.
Huh?
It's who he is. He
yeah.
loves us that much.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, what do you have to say for yourself today?
I have to say that we're so blessed and so happy that we have a God that we have that has mercy and that wants to give us his mercy, actually wants to touch each and every one of us. And all we have to do is allow him his mercy towards us.
It's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah where it actually says God waits to be gracious to us.
And just to think.
He waits for us.
Yeah, we have the opportunity to wipe the slate clean for all our sins and all our inequities and all our evil things that we've done, all by saying, Jesus, I trust in you.
You mean it's written on a slate? Mine's chiseled in stone, and I have to really dig in to get it out of there.
Engraved.
I mean, how are we going to do it? And you know,
that's just it. We don't do it. He does.
That's just it, too, because God says it's a gift.
It's
a gift.
Freely
it's
given.
It's nothing we can do to earn it. It's a gift.
Yes.
Freely
we
given.
We just have to receive it.
And it's a gift out of his love for us. You know, our God is not a landlord that creates and then walks away. He watches, and he wants to repair, and he wants to help.
And you know, even the Beatles got this. They got this. And even if each listener tomorrow says the chaplet just once,
yes,
the Beatles have advice for you. You ready for the Beatles? Ready?
Here we
this
go.
Is
ready.
Angela Creamy from Paul's Center.
Oh,
let
yes.
it be.
Yeah.
Let
yes.
it be.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.
Ask for mercy, let it be.
When the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer.
will be an answer. You gotta listen for the answer. You gotta listen for the answer, listeners. Shut up! Listen! Don't forget Advent Bookstores, Rockville Center, Massapequa,
Bayshore.
Oh, I forgot Massapequa's gone. And
Massapequa. Okay. Rockville Center, Massapequa, Bayshore.
Amazon. Give the email.
Sarah@adventshop.com.
Amen.
She's a good friend of ours. She's been on the show many times, and we love her.
Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer. Let it be.
When the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine on till tomorrow. Let it be.
We got seats on the bus to Newark tomorrow. Call me, 516-423-0405.
And look to your local parish also to see what they're doing for Divine Mercy.
I'll be at the local parish.
The views expressed during this program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
That's the Divine Mercy.
You are listening to the station for information and inspiration.